Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's Ezo Grigio. And like my man, King Killer said, it's the interview series. And today, we have the folks from the web series, Life of Burn. We got the writer, director, Mo, and the lead actor, Keon. What's up, folks?
What's up?
How y'all doing today?
All right.
What's good?
Thanks for having
us. So, I could do it, but why don't we have one of y'all go ahead and talk to us about, you know, what Life of Burn is so folks understand.
I got to stop you right there, son. I got to stop you right there. We cannot do this until we get their personal top three.
Yes.
MC.
I was tripping, wasn't I?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you were.
We haven't had a guest in a while. I'm tripping.
We need to get your personal top three MCs, rappers, whoever you may like.
Oh, okay. That's my kind of show. That's how we starting?
Yes. Yep. So since you said it's your kind of show, Mr. Keon, go in.
But here's the thing. I got to ask a question, though.
No question.
To me, there's a difference between MCs and hip hop artists, so might be two different lists.
Hold on, let me explain.
Okay, I'm ready to explain.
There is no judgment. There is no judgment here. Whoever your personal top three is, we're going with that. We're not going to be like Silk the Shocker. We're not going to do that to you.
Right. It don't matter.
But are we talking about as an MC or overall making music as a rapper?
We don't care.
Top.
We don't care if it's a nigga that lived down the block from you.
So
that
right
nobody
now,
don't know.
So check this out.
Right now, I don't have a top.
So check this out. What I want you to do is again, state your top three and how old you are, so you can give the audience some context that we're dealing with.
Let's do it.
Okay, go ahead, my man. Go in.
All right. So my name's Keon. I play Burn on the Life of Burn. 26 years old. My top three will be J. Cole number one, Drake number two, and I say Kanye still at three.
All right. That's what's up.
That's good.
All right. And we have a nice young lady on the show. State your name, your age, and who you like.
My name is Mo. I'm from the Bay Area. I'm grown, and my top three would be Kendrick, Nas, and Mos Def.
She said she grown, nigga. Stop talking about how old she is.
All
right, no doubt. So now we can get into the regular schedule program.
Let's get into it.
So tell us about Life of Burn. How did this come about? What's it about? All that.
Real quickly, Life and Burn is a six episode web series that is going to be on YouTube. It is pretty much going to follow the life of Burn. As a child, Burn was a selective mute. At 16, he gets his voice back during a rap battle. So when the show starts, he's 18 and he just won this radio contest. So we're going to follow Burn as he develops into this local rap star without trying to sell out.
Okay.
All right. So, from your perspective, well, I would want to ask from your perspective, what is selling out? I think selling out, depending on your age, it's a different perspective. So, can you give us some insight about what would be selling out from the character's perspective?
Right. So, Burn was like a straight A student. He's like a nerd at heart. He grew up in the inner city, but he was always on the straight and narrow. But when you get popular, certain things get presented to you, groupies and things like that, and it's easy for people to say, hey, here's this like more gangster beat, once you rap on it and rap about, you know, killing and all this other stuff he really don't know about. And it's tempted to go that way because that's what's in right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That sounds very interesting.
And so, Keon, with this role of Burn, what attracted you to it and how do you relate?
I was definitely attracted to it because of the unique perspective. Like, we're all familiar with hip hop and come up stories and things like that. But like she said, he was a selective mute. So what you normally see from the guy who's encouraged to pursue a dream in this type of industry wouldn't be that kind of like mute or nerd, somebody who would be viewed in that way. So I've definitely connected to it because it was a deep character. He's intelligent, he's book smart, And I mean, I really thought it was like dope how many dimensions the character had.
Okay.
That's what's up. And so, Mo, when you saw Keon, what was it about him that said, yeah, that's the guy?
Well, we really like Keon because he always like stepped up to whatever challenge we presented. For example, because it's about rap, we needed the actor to be able to rap. And so we asked the actors to submit a rap. And he was like one of the few people that, you know, was able to do it and sound good doing it.
Okay. And Keon, so based on that, what were you thinking when you submitted your rap? What type of content did you submit?
I mean, I just submitted a rap that was, what I look for in MCs is kind of rhyming. That's my thing. So anybody who has like multiple syllable rhymes, like a Big Pun or a J. Cole or Eminem, that's kind of what I gravitate towards. So that's really what I put into it. And I just really wrote like 8 bars, I think, something really simple.
Okay.
And to be honest, we don't really get a lot of young folks in here with us. We're just some old dinosaurs that be talking about the music genre that we love and will love forever. So yeah. any question that we ask you is just basically trying to build the bridge, you know what I'm saying? To bridge the gap and get an understanding of where the younger folks are coming from with the music that we were born with.
Right.
And I want the knowledge too, yeah, because you gotta know where it started, man. You gotta know where it started.
Okay, Mo, I'm interested to know who inspired this story. Was it somebody that in your life?
No, I did. I read about a young girl that was a selective mute. I'm just a fan of hip hop. I had just completed a hip hop documentary called The Killing of the Fifth Element. So I really like the whole aspect that knowledge is a part of hip hop. And so I just try to think of a way that I can just put something like that in front of people. So I just started writing this web series.
Okay, yeah, that is a forgotten part of hip hop, the knowledge, the fifth element.
So what do you think about as far as the music stylings of the project? Is it, what type of audience were you looking to hit? Like when you said the selling out and stuff like that, like the radio, is it driven towards that, or is it more of a, like you said, an authentic rhyming style of film?
So Keon can add to it too, but like every person is going to be able to relate to this web series. You have Keon, he's the nerd, but then you also have CJ. He's the bully from Chicago, who's more of the gangster side, who always try to pull Keon's card. You also have Burn's dad, who represent kind of like the older generation. And when he was Keon's age, guess what? He wanted to be a rapper too. So now he can kind of live out his dreams through Burn.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. The emphasis is definitely first and foremost on the story itself. And I think when the web series starts in the first episode, each character is presented with a turning point in their life. So you're going to see everybody grow and adjust to something new.
Okay.
That's what's up. I just hearing it. Very eager to check it out. And not only that, my son is in it too as a DJ, right?
Right. Right.
Oh, plug, huh?
Shout out to Adonis.
We got Adonis in there. It's a little baby Bron they calling him out here. So you said you like hip hop. I heard you say that, Mo.
Mm-hmm.
So like you said, you were 26.
She said, I'm grown, so, nigga. Stop asking.
I know. It's just a number. It's just a number. But ain't no R. Kelly's up here. I'm just saying. So when you first came into the hip hop realm, what was it that caught your attention in hip hop? Like when you first, the first hip hop record that you heard that you liked?
Probably like Tupac, I would say. Was one of the biggest people that made me like say, okay, I really like this genre. He also like lived in the Bay, so maybe that has something to do with it too. But I think Tupac was probably the biggest star that really got me into rap.
Did you like the the Brenda's got a baby pock, or the hit 'em up pock.
Like all of it. I like all of it. He's okay. Just a real individual. He has the conscious side, the street side. He just has everything that makes him like a complete artist, a complete person.
And what about you, Keon? Same question.
I grew up in New York, and I would say I really started falling in love with hip hop around the late 90s, early 2000s. So I was really influenced by like that beef between Jay-Z and Nas, the whole Stillmatic album, when Eminem came out and things like that. So I think that's what has the most influence on me, like Dipset, G-Unit, all those things.
Okay.
That's what's up. And I'm sorry, you said it's a 6-part series for this for the project?
Yeah, so it's like each episode should be around 10 minutes. So it's enough to like keep the young kids' attention and make you guys want to come back for more. So,
okay.
Wow. How far along are you with the project as far as like to screen?
Well, we still have episodes and scenes to shoot. Right now we're doing a crowdfunding campaign, kind of like a Kickstarter, but it's with Seed and Spark. So right now we're looking for donations to help us complete the production and post-production of the series.
You want to give the information, like the full information? Go ahead.
Right. And so we're online on all social media. You can find us at Bern Houston. That's B-E-R-N Houston on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. And then you can get a link of the Seed and Spark campaign. Or if you go to Seed and Spark, just type, obviously, the life of Bern and our campaign will pull up. Donations start as low as $5. If you're interested in being an associate producer, executive producer, we have options for that too. It's so many ways that you can support.
Okay.
That's what's up. Yo, Keon, I feel a young man who want to talk a little bit of hip hop over there. So
you feel me itching for it?
Yeah, I feel you itching. So I'm going to indulge you. Go ahead, man. What's on your mind as far as that the hip hop in general?
I mean, I honestly want to get your perspective. Like you said, it's just a bridge right now on just the climate. I actually had a question, though. Do you think the streaming era benefits the culture, or do you think it hurts the culture? Just the way that we're able to consume so much music in the fashion that we do it now as opposed to before. Because I think it kind of made hip-hop the most dominant genre, and everybody could see it even if it had been before, but it also allows it to be oversaturated.
Well, you're a wise young man. It's both. I mean, streaming has benefited hip hop on every level, from underground guys all the way up to the biggest commercial artists. But for a show like this, our history tells us what is ultimately, I believe, going to happen. And I believe that the amount of hip hop that exists out there, in the end, and when I mean end, I mean at the end of this particular season that we're in, is going to really diminish it commercially. Because I don't think that, because I don't think that you're going to, it's not going to be geared to, I'm not saying a country artist don't stream or any of that, but the value of their music, by and large, is still pretty valuable. Okay, the music as a whole and as a culture, obviously, it is the most dominant. But but other than the top guys who are benefiting mightily, I don't think there's a lane for your average musician. It's either full out commercial, or you blow, or you don't. So
no in between.
Yeah, there's no in between. So it's both though. I mean, you cannot deny streaming. No way. So
I just think it's more authentic in terms of how the records are. Like somebody whose songs really might be getting played a certain amount of times, but back in the day, it's whoever they paid to the radio station, and then it gets on Billboard. Like if Biggie's intro was really played a million times, then it should be on the charts, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how it is now when you see a rap artist drop and their whole album would be on Billboard. I think it's kind of dope.
Oh, no doubt.
You know what you have to keep in mind, though, is folks like us, we come from a time when Billboard didn't care about us. Radio didn't care about us. So we based our likes and successes on people's ability to actually create panoramic stories with their words. And I think part of the rub for us now is you could say skirt skirt 27 times and have a hit record. And that's okay, but it just doesn't equate to it's a different kind of greatness. It's a monetary greatness, and that's all fine. We say that all the time. Young people get that money. But yeah, when we hear people talk about how great they are, we don't want to hear you talking about you're the greatest rapper alive. We don't want to hear you talking about you the best MC, because to us, you're not.
This sounds like some shade.
Said it sounds like shade.
I think I know who that was for.
Mo said she had a question, though.
I have a question. Do you think the older people in hip-hop were good examples to the younger generation? Because it seems like if we have a lot of crappy young rappers, is it because there was not enough older role models teaching them, like, the game or whatever?
It's funny you said that. We just sort of talked about that. Yes, I think you're right. I think that young people, certainly the only way you could was to gravitate to who were the biggest stars. And it's just because they were the biggest stars, i.e. Tupac, did not make him the best example of humanity. So he made a lot of mistakes, which in turn got passed on to each generation, to where it's sort of now, you know, pretty much it doesn't matter where you come from, Atlanta, Los Angeles, it doesn't matter. You know, you pretty have, commercially, you have the same narrative, except for a couple of, you know, one or two, maybe three MCs. But other than that, you have the same narrative, and that certainly was passed down from us. So we, as far as the older generation, we've got to take full responsibility for that.
But I'm also going to blame it on Sony. Back in 1983, when we were still running around, when they came out with those personal Walkmans, and everybody's own taste was in their ears. We lost the community hip hop, and it became more personal. And so, yeah, it's our fault, because we ran out and bought them little headphone sets and was in our own worlds, walking around totally disconnected from everybody else who was in our genre. They loved the same music, but while we were doing that, and Sugar Hill Gang and them was, well, that was a little before 1983, but Sugar Hill and them being commercial, it kind of changed the game. So yeah, we definitely, we talked about it on our show quite a few times about how we are definitely part of the blame for not staying connected.
But don't you also think that there's always going to be the artists who are in it for monetary gain, and then they're always going to be the craftsmen, no matter whatever it is? Like, you're always going to have an MC Hammer, like Sugar Hill Gang or Vanilla Ice. So is it really that much different? Because you're still going to have your Kendrick Lamars and artists like that at the same time as everybody else who might not be putting that much effort into the craft.
I think the amount for us probably would be different. You literally, you know what I mean? Because literally, you said, and you're only going to say two, Kendrick, Cole, maybe one or other person. You're always going to name those three. Everybody else to me is in a pile of sameness, at least the way it comes across. But I'm certainly much older, so I mean, I'm not gonna see the nuances in, you know, each our artist, and I admit that freely. I'm not gonna see the nuances. So
yeah. But today, what makes an artist today great? What makes Travis Scott great?
I wouldn't know.
I think what makes Travis Scott great is just he's dynamic in his own way that it can't really be replicated. You can't say that he's piggybacking on a specific trend. Like, he's not coming out and saying, oh, I'm making trap music or I'm riding this wave. Travis Scott has his own distinct sound, and nobody else is really able to replicate that. I think that's what would make him great.
Well, I would like to challenge you on that, because as an older person who listens to that stuff occasionally, though Travis Scott is Travis Scott and the Migos are the Migos, my ears hear almost the same thing. I'm serious.
Really?
Yeah. My so ears, when you basically listen to hear Travis somebody Scott, say something, and then somebody saying the same word in a very high-pitched way.
What was that you said, Keon?
I would just, like, when I listen to a Travis Scott, I still see influences from, like, his predecessors, like a Kanye West or Kid Cudi, other artists like that.
I think Travis Scott is known for, like, producing and his beats or whatever, but, like, lyric-wise, I don't see anything special or unique. And, like, a lot of the young rappers are into that singing thing that it's not, real hip-hop. It's just something new. Like, I don't know what it's called yet.
That's what it is, yeah. It's more emphasis on the complete song than and melody. It's more emphasis on melody than lyricism. That's probably what the shift is to why it might sound similar.
And so I think that also that you probably can, I think you have to make a distinction when you guys say melody.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's actually a very accurate description because I think a lot of music is from your generation about the melody, but I think it's different because I don't think the melody is from like our perspective notation. So you have different, you have melody, but I don't think you necessarily have specific notation. So I think that, and that's going to happen because again, like I said, there's a generational disconnect and we can't necessarily notate as far as notes what Travis Scott is doing or anybody like him. We you know what I'm saying? You got to admit that. I freely admit that.
Right. That's what makes us sound like dinosaurs.
No, I agree with that.
That's what makes us sound like dinosaurs because we sit there when we listen to these niggas and we go, all that shit sound the same. What the fuck? There's no difference. They all singing, sing-songy shit. It all sounds the same. So when we say that, they like, oh, you're hating that shade. Y'all niggas don't know what y'all talking about. But that's what it sounds like to us.
Right.
Because it goes back to the Tupac point. I think a lot of the new generation is going to be a reflection of who the biggest star is. So if you see Weezy come in and then towards the end, he's doing the auto-tune thing, or you see Drake blow up so much and it's like the R&B melodies mixed in with the raps, then a lot of people are just going to latch on to like one aspect of them, even though they could do other things.
And you know what, to me, that again shows a chase for money and not for mortality in the rap game, because there was a little bit of money back in the day, but you could distinguish Big Daddy Kane or Biz Markie or Coogee. You could distinguish who was who. And it was more so trying to be better than somebody else versus, and again, I know there's a gigantic pot of money for young folks to get right now to be that next dude or female in Cardi B's case. But it's I don't know if it's hard to explain or hard to understand, but it just sounds the same and it doesn't have the same craftsmanship. So we tend to not give it as much credit.
I agree. And I think the one thing we're going to lose out as a result is the classic album. Like the whole idea of a classic album is someone really taking time to make a great piece of work or challenge themselves. Just because of the putting out each song and making money off streaming and just everything happens so rapidly, that's what's really starting to fade away as well.
No doubt about that. Keon, I got to ask you a question. What motivates you, given all your knowledge, okay? You seem like a very knowledgeable young man. What motivates you to be a traditional MC versus, you know, some of the other guys out there?
I mean, I don't view myself as an MC per se. I just love rap in general, and I do have a respect for the craft because there have been times where I've like practiced it. But I think it really just comes down to personal influence. It's like if you listen to something and it touches you and that happens to be a trap melody, I can't really tell someone, oh, you should think of it this way, because it's art. That's why at the end of the day, it's always going to be subjective. So I think it really just depends what you connect with. Like I said, I always connected with the rhyme. And like when I heard someone like an Eminem, that's always going to blow my mind as opposed to other things. But everybody's different.
No doubt.
So what do you think could help? And I'm asking both of you this. What do you think could help bridge the gap from our side? I mean, you know, we are reaching out, generally reaching out, what have you. But there's a roadblock clearly in hip hop rap genre. What do you think the older folks like us could do to help bridge that joint?
That's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the younger stuff, to me, isn't really that good. So I think people need to stop like giving shine to people who are really not that good. Like people come out and they're popular and they be like, oh yeah, she's for the culture, but no, she's not. And we really need to just start supporting real good artists with that same energy that you support these other people. That's what I think is missing. Support everyone. Let there be a balance. You can have the trap, but you can also have the conscience. Let there be both out there so people can choose.
All right.
And I would say, I think both sides are just too dismissive in the beginning. Like, there comes to a point where you're just like, I'm not messing with that, and there's nothing you could really tell me. Like, there's been times where new artists who are actually nice, I would try to play it for someone who was older. And he's like, nah, don't play that shit. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what they're going to say. I know it's trash. And it could be the same thing for a young guy. He just has his mindset, oh, they don't know what it is. They don't know the lifestyle, so I'm not even going to give it a chance. And then through that, you miss out on a lot of people who could connect to both. Like, I could see how a Chance the Rapper, if you were from the other generation, how soulful it is. I could see how you should be able to connect to that. And then the newer artists should be able to see that nothing that they're doing is new. Everything came from somewhere else. Just like rock and roll, all these other genres, it just bridges out. So if you dig deeper, I think you'll find it. But it's just a willingness to be open. That's all.
Wow. I like that.
Well put. But it's so hard for dinosaurs like us to reach. Our arms are short. We got short arms.
So on a daily basis, what music are you guys listening to?
For real?
Yeah, tell us.
Right
well,
now.
First of all, I'm gonna tell you this. You can listen to any of the cuts we put at the end of our show. Okay.
That's the type of music we play. But that Torre Praise album is crazy right now.
So, anything by Apollo Brown, produced by Apollo okay. Brown, you'll hear me listening to.
Yeah, I think it's interesting when we talk about this and we talk about, let's quote unquote, young versus old. We do listen to an awful lot of MCs in their 20s. But yeah. They are not known, meaning that they are not the Travis Scotts and the Drakes. But they are all your age or younger all the time, you know, and not necessarily black. So, yeah, I don't know. And I think when we sort of reach out, and I don't think that those particular young people are doing it for our benefit. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they're saying, yeah. Oh, I know there's some 50-year-old guys that's really going to dig this. I can't certainly see that being the motivation for a 20-year-old guy to do traditional boom bap. So in our defense, we do listen to a lot of young artists, but they're not known commercially.
Yeah. I had a question for you, though, because on Tribe, one of Tribe's songs, they have a line where it's like, rap is not pop. If you call it that, then stop. So is the issue that you feel like this genre itself shouldn't be exploited commercially? Because nobody's going to be mad at a Michael Jackson for saying, I want to get a single that's going to reach everybody. So do you think there's something inherently wrong with the rapper saying, I want a song that could be played across the world? I don't want to just be limited to being in this one lane.
Traditionally, go ahead, G.
No, I don't feel like that. If you want to be pop, be pop. You could be pop all day. That's cool, but that's a genre of its own. If you want to be a pop rapper, be a pop rapper. And I have no issues with that. Where the issue comes in at is when you try to crisscross and try to come over here where we're at and try to act like you're better than us.
Claim both sides, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's very difficult for us because traditionally, that hasn't been the case. Again, when we started out, there was such a schism between hip hop and R&B. Period. You know, and we never crossed those lines. But as time went on and the lines crossed, and then I think I'll use this as an example, Drake v. Pusha T. I mean, nobody's mad at Drake as far as his success, but we view him only in a pop lane. We don't view him or understand why people would give him so much clout in an underground MC battle arena. He's not nice like that. He's not built for that. You know, you can give him all the superlatives and the American Music Awards and the billions of streams in which he earned. Fine. I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But we will bristle if you're naming him as far as the history of but he's the history of, in our opinion, as far as just pure MCing is marginal at best. But history, and we love to always go back to the history, and you mentioned MC Hammer earlier. You guys are too young to understand how huge he was. He was outrageous.
Cereal, cartoons, commercials, magazines.
You guys do not know how big he was. And we fought against him in the same way that we fight against Drake, not of his individual successes, but you're not like that as far as traditional hip hop. And that's.
But Drake came into the game with his mixtapes rapping, though. He showed you, you don't feel like he earned his stripes lyrically. Because when Drake first came out, he wasn't coming out. Like, he came out and proved that he could rap.
One question for you. Were all of them written by him?
We will never know.
Then we can't decide on that then, because we do know that he had records written for him.
But like and he once said, you do that, you supposedly cannot at all claim hits, the greatest at but all. But ain't got no hits, sounds like they need me.
Like somebody else couldn't write that?
I think it's one of those things that we're gonna have to agree to disagree, because I've heard a lot of that when Drake came out, or the old when, or he could do if he wanted to.
I was one of those people.
Right. And real talk, there's not a legend that if we found out, and this is up and down the line, there's no legend that if we found out somebody was writing their rhymes, we would kick him or her out of there.
Gotta go.
No legend.
Can't be the greatest.
We would still love what they did.
Yeah.
But they're out of the top 10, out top 5, whatever. They're out of
the discussion.
Right.
So
Muhammad Ali never had a ghost fighter.
Right. So as far as Drake, and again, like I said, and Drake fans are, you know, they're pretty ardent, you know, and they would say, well, people wrote records for Michael Jackson and people. Yeah, that's pop. That's a whole different thing. And we're not arguing those points. But MCing, and in the terms of hip hop, is so sacred to us. Ghostwriters and things like that, you're disqualified. You're disqualified.
And that would never change to you,
never,
no matter what happens.
No matter what.
No,
if I ever found out that somebody wrote for Black Thought, just
he's gone.
Put the dirt on me now.
He's gone.
But we got to wrap it up soon. So is there any other questions that you want to talk about before we flip it back around and get some more information on Life of Burn? Any more questions? Any hip hop?
Oh, yeah. Actually, when we were starting, you were talking about the BlackBerry. So I was just saying, in your opinion, do you look down on an MC who will go to a radio show and then read the raps off his phone?
You know what? Before they go in, I'm going to say this. At first, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, this is some bullshit. You can't even remember your own fucking rhymes. You gotta go up here with some shit on written down to actually say. But then I was like, you know what? I'd rather them go up there with some hot shit already written and say it nice. And I'd rather that. That's how
as
I feel now.
As long as they wrote it.
As long as they wrote that shit. It wasn't texted to them.
We saw what Method Man had to do against Black Thought. And we know Method Man is dope.
Right.
Method Man is dope, yep.
I think
he had to pull out that BlackBerry, though.
Right. I think for me, speaking, is that, again, it's just another lane of talent, okay? Because you go to any radio station, Hot 97, or any radio station across the country, if you pull out a BlackBerry or your paperwork and you read it, then you read it, okay? That's fine.
Your paper.
Whatever. Hey, but there are certain guys out there do not need that, and they're at another level of talent. So again, that's when I talk about this sort of trying to cross up and sort of what Black Thought did. That's all him. He's always been like that. He's at another level of talent. I don't think anybody on the pop charts can do what he does. So.
But another issue is, though, that some of the viewers think that if they don't have the BlackBerry, they're making it up on the spot. Like, some people view freestyle as you just came up with it. Like, there are different ways. So when they see the phone, they're like, oh, he did. That's not a freestyle because it's off the phone. But a lot of the times people come in and freestyle something off their album. They just haven't memorized. So I was thinking about that also, because it's like, I guess they think freestyling is easier than what it actually is.
Yeah, well, I think the term freestyling has changed over right. generations. Yeah.
It's not
anyway.
Really, it's yeah. not really freestyling.
Yeah, off the top, but some
but people are
really
people that can
that.
Do that, and they are a rare breed.
Some people would argue Rhyme with Fest. Me and thinks Rhyme Fest is special. Yeah,
right. There are some people who are just generally special like that and can do that with regularity. So, you know,
yeah, most people memorize it. Or either come up with something that day, they know they're going on the radio station, and they know they're going to ask them to rhyme.
And then
they're
going
to ask them to rhyme,
quick.
So they're going to have to come up with something.
So, but anyway.
So that's what's up. I don't know about King Killer Kurt G, but I have enjoyed this. Like I said, it's not often that we get to talk to folks that are not dinosaurs like us.
Right.
And we're here to learn. We're here to teach and to learn.
No doubt. So, again, let's reiterate.
Like
let's get to the topic at hand, the life of Burn. So
please go back and let everybody know about the series and where they can get it.
We're on all social media platforms. Even if you can't donate, if you guys can please just follow our social media pages. It's at Burn Houston on Twitter and Instagram. If you're on Facebook, just type Who is Burn and will come up. So if you can just follow us and share our link to other people. Everyone always talks about, man, I wish we had more positive images out there. Well, we're that, and this is your opportunity to support us.
All right. That's what's up. So, all right, well, thank you for being on the Hip Hop Digest. Don't go nowhere because we would like to get some drops from you.
Hey.
Yeah.
All right, peace.
Peace.
One.